This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
I hit it hard, man. So far, man.
That's right, another Saturday here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Labor Day weekend, Charlie. Any big plans coming up throughout the weekend?
You know, conditions that I have, I'm nursing my feet. I'm nursing my heart. I've got all sorts of things. I'm just staying at home.
Yeah, hey, that's not a bad idea. College football, you can watch some of that all day here today on this Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I'm a good couch potato.
Hey, everybody can do that. I'm going to head up to Dallas for Auburn and Oregon a little bit later on today. But, you know, last week on the show, you said you were ready for golf to be over, the golf season to be over. Well, you've got your wish, Charlie. It's over. We're
and
done.
I'm glad. And we had a good finale. We had two big heavyweights go side by side, and it produced for some good golf. And I think we got a good FedEx Cup. They got what they wanted, one winner with the cup in hand. And I don't know what happened to Brooks, but yeah. Rory put it right on him.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy, of course, winning the Tour Championship, the FedEx Cup. We're going to talk a lot about that. Bill Harmon's going to join us in a little bit. Some final thoughts on how the season ended and what that entire weekend was like. Plus, kind of a year-in-review show here as the 2018-2019 golf season has concluded. And we look back on some of the top moments of the year, newcomer of the year perhaps, most disappointing player of the year, comeback player of the year, and of course golfer of the year, and some of the other moments that stand out to all three of us here on the show. And some news on Tiger. You see that? A little minor operation. It's not the back. Maybe that's the good news, right? It's a knee. We'll get into that a little bit with Bill, but it sounds like just cleaning something up there in the knee.
He always tells you after the fact, not before.
Yeah, well, yeah, because people will freak out. But I'll say this, though. It's better than we learned that, hey, they're doing something with his back again, right? I mean, the knee, it's serious, but it's a lot better than if we heard, oh, he's having something checked out on his back.
Yes.
No question about that. So this is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, as always, on a Saturday here on SB Nation Radio. Bill Harmon going to join us on the phone. We'll ask him also if he had a good birthday. It was his birthday a little bit earlier on in the week, him and Butch Harmon, their birthday. So we'll talk about that, get his thoughts on the FedEx Cup, which was won by Rory. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Rory McIlroy is a two-time FedEx Cup champion at Eastlake.
That's how it sounded on Sunday as Rory McIlroy won the Tour Championship and, of course, the FedEx Cup as we're back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We welcome in Bill Harmon as we do each and every Saturday morning. Bill, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Well, Bill, we're just getting ready for the FedEx Cup to finally come to an end, and I think it's been a great year for FedEx. They're getting their money's worth. Now does the public like it? What do you think?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think the FedEx Cup got kind of a good break with the leaderboard on Sunday. You know, I can't really say that the money has made a big difference to me and my interest. It's made a little bit of the difference. But I did tune in to see Rory against Brooks and Justin Thomas and Xander in there and stuff. So I think they got a real good break when they get those four really, really good players right in there. So, and it was interesting to watch Rory come back and basically put a beat down on Brooks, like Brooks put a beat down on him at FedEx. So I always think it's good when the best players are playing good and they're playing against each other. So I think in that regard, it was successful. But had they had a much different leaderboard, then I might not have felt the same about it. But they're tweaking it, and they're trying to get it right. I'm not too sure I know exactly what right is, to be honest with you.
Well, I think Rory's going to want to have the Masters in September or August, someplace in the fall. He seems to be playing much better this time of the year than he does in the spring. He really looked awesome. I mean, he really looked under control from the get-go. And I'm not sure why that is, but it's just kind of like a heavyweight fight. Sometimes a fighter shows up, and sometimes he doesn't. But he brought it to Brooks.
Well, he still had a pretty good year, Charlie. You know, he had I saw some stat, an inordinate amount of top tens. But he won the Players, the Tour Championship, and the FedEx Cup. So I think by all accounts, that's a pretty darn good year. I think Rory and Brooks and DJ, these guys become a little bit of product of their own brilliance. And when they don't win all the time, we wonder what's wrong with them. But the reality is that he's played pretty darn good all year long. And those are three pretty good things to have on the resume, the FedEx, the Tour Championship, and the Players. I view the Players as a major, so to me it was kind of a major win in my opinion.
Now, for someone that maybe didn't watch any golf, let's say, and you could say maybe they were in a coma for a year, how would you describe this 2018-2019 golf year for someone that maybe didn't watch? I'll start with you, Charlie.
A little disappointing, because we started out with such a bang, with Tiger winning the Masters. And all of a sudden, everybody's euphoric, and what's going to happen? And he's going to come back and win 25 majors. I mean, it was that way. And every day after the Masters, it just kept getting, little disinterest. We didn't know what was going on. He wasn't playing, and he kind of let us down. I think.
Well, I would say it was a great year, starting with Tiger, and then kept. Kind of maintained his dominance in the majors. He was there all the time. An incredible win for Shane Lowry in his home country there in Ireland. So I thought that was fantastic. We had a great Open. Gary Woodland went in the Open and kept pushing him right to the last hole. So I'd look at it as a good year, but I will agree with you, Charlie, that Tiger did tease us a little bit. But now he's had another surgery already, so you start wondering how that adds up to him, because he's had a lot of surgeries in the last decade. So we don't know if he was healthy or not, because he doesn't really tell you much, but it is kind of odd. As soon as the year was over, he's had surgery.
Yeah, you're referring to Tiger earlier this week on Tuesday afternoon on his Twitter account announcing that he underwent surgery on his knee. Arthroscopic procedure happened last week, I guess, during the Tour Championship on his left knee, repairing minor cartilage damage. And I was talking with Charlie about this before the show. Not that it's a good thing anytime someone's having surgery on a knee or anything like that, but certainly better than if we heard, oh, he had some other type of operation on his back or something like that. I mean, if you're trying to find a positive out of it, I guess that would be it for me.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think Tiger winning the Masters was incredible, and I do think he teased us. But all in all, I got to believe he's pretty doggone happy to win a major championship after all he's been through. But we really don't know what the future holds. We've talked about him ad nauseum on this show relative to his health. And if his health doesn't hold up, then, who knows? We may have seen the last of Tiger Woods winning tournaments.
But, the bottom line is $15 million was collected on Sunday. I wonder how much they're going to pay Tiger over in Japan.
Him and Rory?
Yes. What are those numbers going to be, Bill? I mean, that's, it's a little silly season, I guess we used to call it, But he's getting that knee ready so he can go over there and collect. So that's got to be a pretty good payday.
Oh, you think? I don't think Tiger or Rory are going to fly halfway around the world.
Yeah.
Given the money that they already have. So I would imagine it would be substantial.
Yeah, it's got to be something to entice them. Certainly, as far as describing this year, just knowing what we've discussed since January and since I've been on the show with you guys, another way to describe it, I would say, is just, I don't know, controversy, but just slow play, right? I mean, that's been such a big theme here in the 2018-2019 season.
1962, they were talking about slow play.
I feel like it's discussed more, though, now. Is it just because of social media and some of these guys firing shots at each other?
Jack Nicklaus is one of the slowest players ever over the golf ball. He walked faster to the ball. I mean, I think the European Tour is trying to do it the right way. They have four goals they want to accomplish. But the bottom line is the players have to step up and man up. And I would just put all the slow players in the back of the field, Bill, and let them play.
Yeah, they got to do something. There's no doubt about it. I thought the only thing worse than DeChambeau taking 2.5 minutes to hit an 8-foot putt was his explanation of why it took 2.5 minutes. And so I thought, no, I mean, he said, I'm an entertainer, and I'm trying to, like, anybody wants to watch someone line up a putt for 2.5 minutes. So I thought he dug himself a deeper hole with his explanation. But maybe he can't help it. Maybe he's, you know, one of those guys that's compulsive about things. He can't pull the trigger till everything's right, but that doesn't mean it should affect the other players. So I'm hoping the tour starts strapping two-stroke penalties on the guys until they get used to it. That's all.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. And now we kind of turn the page and look back and continue to do that throughout the show today on what occurred over the last year or so. We think of top moments of the year. The Tiger winning at the Masters has got to be the number one moment, I would suspect, for all of us. But let me go around and I'll ask and make sure. If not, there's a few other ones that stand out. We'll start with you, Bill. What would you say was the top moment of this past year in golf?
It has to be that, in my opinion. But for me, the very top moment was the drive that Rory McIlroy hit on the last hole at the Players' Championship with a one-shot lead. Charlie's played there. He knows how hard that drive is, and to get up there with the driver when he didn't need to do it. I thought, at the time, I thought it was the dumbest shot I've ever seen, and when it was over, I thought it was the best shot I've ever seen. It reminded me a little bit of Cabrera's drive on the 72nd hole at Oakmont, although not as critical in the sense that, you know, Cabrera kind of had to hit driver on that hole, but I just thought that was the moment for me, a guy having that much faith.
For me, you know, there had to be an Irish professional win the Open this year with what's been going on. And when Shane shot 63, I mean, all of a sudden you could just feel that there's that possibility that on Sunday they're going to, the champion golfer of the year was going to be an Irishman. I think that victory in itself was magnificent.
Yeah, for me, it, you know, obviously, as we all agree, Tiger at the Masters. But another one, Gary Woodland, for him, 35 years old, winning his first ever major at the U.S. Open there and holding off Brooks Koepka. And just what a moment and what he, you know, what Gary Woodland has been through over the last couple of years in his personal life with him and his wife and everything. And then to couple it with that, you have the young lady that the moment, and I think, what was it, at the Waste Management Open where she was out there with Gary Woodland. That was an awesome moment. And then after Gary wins the U.S. Open, he FaceTimes with her, and that story got national attention. So that, for me, that's other than the obvious Tiger at the Masters, and I think we all recognize that. To me, that Gary Woodland, the moment, the win, coupled with what that meant for the young lady as well and how cool of a story that was, those would be ones that stand out.
I agree with that. That's a personal story that really it makes golf so much more human.
Yes.
But I think we're all trying to make sense of the new schedule this year. It was going so fast. Now, in retrospect, look back, is have they done the right thing? And I would say yes. I think it's pretty clean. They got the Olympics coming next year. Now we're going to let football run for a little, and we'll be ready to go in October for a little casual golf. But overall, I think the format for the FedEx Cup was great, and I think the calendar and the scheduling of the different events really worked out to everybody's advantage.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, the only thing we've talked about is the unintended consequences of some of the other tournaments there. But I think for the players, I think it's a real plus, Charlie. The really good ones, their season is over if they want it to be. You know, it's up to them how much they want to play overseas. And, of course, they do have the President's Cup coming up, but I'm sure they'll enjoy doing that. But the really good ones can, in fact, pick and choose what they want to do now. And if they want, they can have, you know, 3, 4, 5 months off almost now. So condensing it all into that short period of time had a lot of pluses, and there's no question about it.
But the other thing is, you know, golfers, we love to play golf. And the best example is you take Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, they're still playing golf. They're still, it's for the love of the game, and although you might have more time off, they're gonna play, and the competition is keen. And the only thing, here's two names I want you to think about, Bill. Zach Johnson and Luke Donald, Hunter Mahan. Has the golf game gone past guys like they play like this that don't have that length? Can they compete anymore?
So we're going to discuss that coming up on the other side. We've got to get to a break. We'll get into that, an interesting discussion to be had. And then also, continuing our year in review, newcomers of the year, most disappointing players of the year. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Back inside things here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Something you brought up right before we went to break, Charlie, was you threw out a couple names of golfers and wondering if the game is kind of, if those guys can still be successful with the way the game is going. Well, I want to pick up right there where you guys left off.
Well, like Zach Johnson, for the last 10, 12 years, he's been on Ryder Cups. He's won tournaments. He's, you know, and he's the type of physique that, you know, he's not going to bomb it. He can't get in there with Gary Woodland and these guys. And my question to Bill is it finally going to happen where they're going to bring the golf ball back? Is that maybe in the future?
Well, I can't see them bringing the ball back, but I wish they would, and I think they should. I have found the game to be quite boring, to be honest with you, watching everybody here driving a wedge every hole. And you have 500-yard par fours or hitting driving eight irons. I don't really know where it's going. I think you know, you got to grow rough and make it so narrow that they can't hardly hit the fairways and can't get out of the rough. So I would love to see Augusta step up and come up with the ball that everybody has to play and see what happens. That's what I would like to see. I'd like to see them say, you're not playing in this tournament unless you play this ball that goes 10% shorter than the ball you're playing. I think that'd be an interesting 10%, I think, would be a nice little deduction.
And here we go. I mean, I feel like it's a weekly appearance now. We got Gizmo snoring in the background.
Yeah, I sent you a picture of where he's sleeping. I ought to wake him up. So comfortable.
Oh, my goodness.
He wants to be on the show, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at least I'm glad we got a picture now to put the noise with it. We got
sometimes he makes more sense than Charlie does.
That's not saying a whole lot, though, is it? I mean, you know, that's the thing. Oh, my goodness.
I'm kind of shortchanging Gizmo, aren't I?
just a little bit. So, okay, I wanted to take a look back, and if there's a golfer that comes to mind for either of you, when we think back in the last year, say, all right, that guy was newcomer of the year. That guy really came on the scene, and you expect big things going forward. He had a couple of those Oklahoma State kids that got on the tour late in the season. Was it one of those guys? Anybody else that stand out when you say maybe a newcomer of the year in the 2018-2019 season?
Well, I got to put those three guys in there, Morikawa, Hovland, and Wolf. I'm going to put them all together.
Yeah.
For them to come out of college and have two of them win right away, and Hovland has already secured his card on the Korn Ferry playoff tour. Very rarely, Charlie, do we have three players come out like that and secure their cards literally before the next season starts.
And they're so good, and they've been so trained. So, and who do they replace? That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, someone's getting knocked out.
Say there's 125 now. Okay, who's leaving? And you know, in this case, I'm Jimmy Walker, who won his first major, won the PGA, and he had the misfortune of getting Lyme's disease, and so you know his health kind of let him down. But other golfers that come to mind. That are at the, you know, the back of their career, you know, maybe 46, 47. You know, you got Ernie Els, you got the guys that are turning 50. It's turning over. It's evolution.
Well, you look at some of the guys that, you know, you mentioned Zach Johnson. You know, Bill Haas didn't get his card.
Yep.
Jason Duffner. Didn't finish in the top 125. Alex Noren, a very, very good player, that didn't finish in the top 125. So you look down the list and you see some pretty darn good players. That's a great thing, I think, about professional golf, though, Charlie, is you got to perform every week, and if you don't, you're going to get run over, and it's going to happen. You have to perform every swing, every day, every week, all year long. So it's the most competitive sport, in my opinion, and the fact that you have to play good to earn your keep, I think, is what makes it so exciting. And I also think, you know, the enigma a little bit is still, in my opinion, Jordan Spieth. You know, he certainly doesn't have a terrible year by any stretch of the imagination, 44th on the money list, but it's not what we expect from him.
Yeah, and maybe that leads me into our next question as we go back and look at this past year in golf. Most disappointing player of the year, who comes to mind?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I was trying to think of that.
I mean, it's hard to say it's Spieth when he finished where he did, like you just said.
Yeah, well, you'd have to say, I don't like the word disappointing. I guess maybe surprising.
Yeah.
I would throw Bill Haas would be a guy that I would say to finish out of the top 125 two consecutive years. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Yeah, I would say Zach Johnson caught my attention. He was a kid that's been so good for so long, and then all of a sudden – last year,
he
changed his coach, he changed his caddy, and now he finishes 154th in the standings. So will he bounce back next year?
I forgot, he's 43.
43, but, you know, it's still pretty young in today's.
And he's in good shape. I would bet that he will bounce back. That would be my prediction for him.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can say it was surprise or disappointing, but wondering, you know, like with Phil Mickelson, and he didn't do a whole lot. He wasn't competitive much this year.
So he started off so good, and then he really played. Yeah.
Won a tournament.
By his own account, the poorest golf of his career at the end of the year.
Won a tournament, but you know, there's 20 new guys that won 20 tournaments, and I can't even name one of them right now. can you name the new winners, Bill?
Cameron Champ, Corey Connors, guys like that.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew Wolf.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them for sure. I don't know if I could name Keith Mitchell would come to mind. Joel Dahman, maybe, like that.
Yeah,
Max Homa won. You know, Dylan Fratelli won. Wyndham Clark won. I'm throwing some pretty good ones.
I was going to say, that's good. I can't even remember who won the Rocky Mortgage
Adam
Classic.
Long,
and I was
know.
There.
Yeah, Adam Long won.
I'm looking at the money list.
There you go.
there we go. That's
I am cheating for sure.
I don't have my magazine. I brought my not to write magazines, so I'm
there you go. All right, Bill, I know you got to run. Happy belated birthday to you as well. Have a good Labor Day weekend.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, Bill.
Bill Harmon, of course, always joining us here Saturday on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We got a ton to get to still, Charlie. You and I the rest of the way. A few things I want to make sure we hit on going forward. We will look at comeback player of the year, maybe, golfer of the year. And it's interesting because the FedEx Cup winner was Rory McIlroy. Then I saw the PGA awarded Brooks Koepka as their official golfer of the year. So we're going to have that discussion. And then what's next? The season's over. As you mentioned, October will pick this thing back up with the Houston Open as well, right here where we're located and based out of. But what's next? Maybe some changes we think could come or we'd like to change for the next season or so. So Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
And we continue here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. I hope everybody's having a good start to their Labor Day weekend. And, of course, this show made possible by our friends over at Insperity.
Yes, Insperity, the company that inspires business performance. And we all might be headed for the fourth quarter. You're getting things ready. You want some help. You know, the regulations that the government puts out, the HR department is so important. Well, you can call my friends at Insperity and ask them to come and visit, and they can tell you exactly what they can do for you and your business. You can ask them some questions where they can maybe even help you grow it, let you go a different direction, but really have the support of 3,000 people. Insperity was established in 1986 in Houston by a couple gentlemen that really had a great, unique idea, and they had blossomed it into helping small businesses across the country, and they get rave reviews from their customers. So do me a favor, log on to Insperity.com, give them a call, and I guarantee it, year 2020 is going to be a bang-up year.
I'll tell you this show not possible without them, so we really appreciate their support here of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio. And we continue looking back at this 2018-2019 golf season. We've gone through some of the top moments that have stood out, and we still have to get to Golfer of the Year, which I think is a little interesting to view. But what about Comeback Player of the Year? I think there's a lot of people listening out there and say, oh, this is a no-brainer. It's got to be Tiger. He was, you know, he had the back surgeries, and he comes back and he wins a major. And I think you can make a strong case Tiger has to be that Comeback Player of the Year, right?
Yes, but the Champion Golfer of the Year had missed the cut in the last four Open Championships. His sale wasn't looking very good at all, and he turned it around and slowly but surely kept fighting, came back over to the United States and played some more golf, and all of a sudden he finds himself at the Open Championship under just an extreme amount of pressure, winning at home in front of all of his countrymen. And of course there was Graham McDowell, there was Roy McIlroy, the other Irish guys, but Shane Lowry really distinguished himself amongst everybody, won by six, and I think he's still celebrating.
So you think he's a comeback player? Because I look at it, I say that was maybe the most pressured win,
yes,
of any on the tour, and certainly right out of any of the majors. Although you could say there was pressure on Tiger, but I don't know if there was as much pressure on Tiger, except maybe once Sunday came and he was in the position he was, because I don't think many people thought Tiger was going to ever win a major. We already were past that. So right, I would argue Shane Lowry had more pressure than anybody for the reasons you brought up. Rory had plenty of pressure, but Rory was out of the hunt very quick. Remember, he was
triple bogey the first hole.
Yeah, I mean, he was never in the hunt there at the British Open. But Shane Lowry was in control throughout the entire week there.
In control.
And doing it in front of his own country made it that much more impressive. And then after that, he said, I don't need to play in an event after that. So he took a nice break, as I'm sure just a few drinks were had there in Ireland. So, okay, comeback player, you're going to go Lowry. I got to go Tiger still, I think, just because of the layoff that he's had and the fact that nobody thought, I think, for the most part, he would get back to where he was. And for him to win that, and that moment, we went through top moments. We mentioned Tiger winning, but to me what made that moment even cooler was that image that I'll never forget, and I don't think many will, of him hugging his son, which, of course, the flashback that they kept showing of his father and his, you know, and him in that moment. And so that was a moment, too, I think you're going to look back, and not just this year, but for forever, years and years to come, of Tiger winning at the Masters because of what occurred right after as well.
We should probably have a special award for this gentleman, and I got to give him props. I got to, you know, you take, and he's 44 years old, and he won two tournaments this year, so many top tens. You know, he almost won the British Open with Jordan Spieth, but help me with his, I just went blank with his name. Come on. tennis player, his wife's tennis player. Come on.
Oh, gosh, that's going to drive me crazy. No. You'll think of it.
I just had it right here.
yeah, that's right. So he won a couple events this year.
Yeah, he won a couple events, and he was always in the top ten. He started that new putting where he put the putter down his left arm, Kuchar.
Oh, Matt Kuchar. Okay. He finished, by the way, a third in the money this year,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, he had a distinguished year, although he had a couple of hiccups off the golf course, one with the ping and the caddy. And
yeah, that seems like forever ago, doesn't it?
Misunderstanding, but there still is hope for the people that can just barely hit it 290. So, but
that's why. So that's really what it is. That's why you like him. Okay.
Yeah.
You relate to that a little bit, where you're saying, you're not hitting as far as everybody else.
And he distinguished himself.
Yeah, I was looking at. I just pulled up the money list. So he played in 22 events. In 2019, did Kuchar, and $6.2 million is what he was able to get. And yeah, that seems like forever ago. Was that back in January where he had that event in Mexico? And
yes,
he didn't pay the caddy. He paid the caddy, but it was way less. People said he should have paid more. It changed his image.
The standard fare, and if you're a full time professional caddy, most of the guys will get you get 10% of the purse. If you win, you get 7. If you're in the top 10, you get 5. If you make the cut, 3. And so that's all the arrangements you make between you and your man. And in one sense, you win $1 million. He should have given him $100,000, and he gave him 5.
Yeah, I'm sure he regrets that immensely because
tour caddy, they have to pay all their expenses. They have to fly. They have a cost of goods. They're
a contractor.
Yes.
And you're saying this guy obviously didn't, but that became such a big story. That was something we discussed even just on our regular sports talk show that I do during the week here on the network. That got out to the casual sports fan, and I think it changed the image, unfortunately, that people had toward Matt Kuchar.
That's right.
Fair or not. But yeah, he had a fantastic year. What about golfer of the year? Let's look at that. And Rory wins the FedEx Cup. Rory, second in total money on the tour. Now, this last event does not factor in. He won $15 million. He obviously would have the most money because of that. Golfer of the Year, the PGA Tour, their award, not to confuse people, was Brooks Koepka. He was their Golfer of the Year, the criteria they use. But Rory won the FedEx Cup. So who's the Golfer of the Year, Charlie?
I think it's Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, Brooks.
He was there all the time. I mean, he defended his PGA championship. He was there at Augusta. He was there at the U.S. Open. He was there on Sunday fighting Rory for the FedEx Cup. So he distinguished himself for the year.
Remember what we were saying about Brooks at the PGA championship there at Bethpage, and as he was just dominating that course and dominating the field, and the conversations we were having as that was going on in the very next show after it about Tiger-esque, right? And he ultimately maybe disappointed that he didn't end up winning the FedEx Cup. I'm sure he is, and how he performed on this past Sunday at the Tour Championship. But looking at Brooks Koepka, to me, he was the dominant golfer still over the last. He was. If you were asking anybody, casual sports fans, who had the best year, most are going to tell you Brooks Koepka because of what he was able to do at the majors over the last, six majors.
He won four of them.
I mean, that's ridiculous. So I think Brooks, for me, it's Brooks Koepka. But isn't that part of the problem, though, with the confusion here, Charlie? Because Rory won the FedEx Cup, which, based off of different criteria, like, to me, that's supposed to tell us who the best golfer was all year, is it not?
Yes.
So that's where I struggle with it a little bit.
But I think maybe that picture that he put in the ESPN magazine.
Yeah, what do you think of the body issue, Charlie?
Put him over the top.
Are you going to buy a copy of that? That's on newsstands, I think, September the 6th. Brooks Koepka wanted to be in it. Did you see that? He actually requested.
He lost 15 pounds to get into it. So,
oh, was that a requirement?
I don't know if it was a requirement, but that's what he did.
What other golfers have been on that,
Gary Player?
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid to Google that image, but
Gary
Player, huh?
Yes, sir. So it's all tongue-in-cheek and having fun. And
I think they're getting rid of this is the last year, my understanding, of the body issue being printed.
Oh.
I believe ESPN is going back and just going to do a digital version going forward to save some
Everything's money. Going digital.
Yeah. Well, it saves a ton of money. But I don't think I've bought a ESPN body issue ever.
I know I haven't.
Because the photos go viral. Everybody, the one I'll never forget, Prince Fielder, the ball player, bigger guy, was on the cover. And that one got a lot of people talking. This year, the Eagles, offensive line is one of the group of athletes featured. But yeah, Brooks Koepka, and I think it's all what we've seen in the last calendar year from him, as his image is certainly grown and his notoriety for what he's done on the golf course. But he's become so much more comfortable with himself. I mean, he even admitted at the PGA Championship, I remember one of the comments he had at Bethpage, where he said, you know, he's able to say some things that he wouldn't have said a year ago.
Sure.
He feels like anything, right? When you have success, you can say some more things. And Coach Bill Belichick can get away with a lot more than first-year head coach Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, right?
Sure,
Bill Belichick's got the hardware to back it up. Brooks Koepka's got the hardware to back it up.
And the press likes what he says. You know, he's honest about slow play.
I like
he's going to go to the bathroom and make make him delay and make this slow player uncomfortable. I like that.
Yeah. No, I like – hey, he speaks his mind. I respect that. And so, no, I'm a fan of Brooks Koepka. Certainly am. And, you know, you look at heading into next season and what's next. Where are we at now, Charlie? Because we kind of have this lull. Yeah, there's some events in October, but – a lot of people aren't going to be paying much attention until we get back to February, March, and of course, into the Masters.
That's right. January out in Hawaii, which I think is
good.
You
should go. We should take the show there. Let's do it.
We'll go over there to Mauna Kea.
Yeah.
But we got enough activity in this fall season coming up. You know, people are going hunting and fishing and, you know, get your mind away. We got to get prepared for the Houston Open. Houston Open's the first week in October. But, you know, everything used to be seasonal, but now everything's year-round, and we follow the sun, and some people get a little tired of it. I know my wife says, are we going to watch golf again?
Yeah, she's got to be happy. Now it's football, right? Football will be on the TV. College football today.
Yeah.
That'll be for sure. So, yeah, the Houston Open, I'm sure we'll have a couple more guests in the next couple of weeks as we get closer, because that event's going to be, this will be the first Houston Open that I'll have an opportunity to go to. I think we're planning on heading up there. Maybe we'll talk some more and get something worked out to maybe head up there.
They're staying pretty close to the vest. They don't, you know, they can't announce the field yet.
Yeah. When will that come? Do you know?
Well, that's probably about a month before the event, and they're finishing Memorial Park. I don't know what the status of that is, but it's what I've seen. I like. So Houston's going to have a good footprint for golf once again. I think once we get into the Memorial phase of the operation, it's going to be really neat. They're building out at the Golf Club of Houston right now. They got 3-story bleachers. I mean, this is really incredible. Yeah, so they're still anticipating, and Mr. Crane and his group, they know what they're doing. They know how to put on a party. So maybe we'll get the hitter, Jorn. He can get out there and hit a golf ball. I wonder how far he can hit it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. We'll come back, wrap things up on this Labor Day weekend edition on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Well, we start to wrap things up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And the golf season behind us now. We spent the last 40-plus minutes here on the show, Charlie, going through some of our top moments of the year, and certainly a great way to end the season, despite maybe some of the confusion that some people have with the FedEx Cup and the Tour Championship and the process of how we get to this point. The way the leaderboard was, I think we all agree that it turned out to be a nice finish to the 2018-2019 season, capped off by Rory winning the FedEx Cup.
Yes, and I think if you look at the PGA Tour as a whole, they were very successful. All of the tournaments went off without any problems. They raised millions and millions of dollars, which that's the bottom line. We've got new talent coming and kids coming out of college that are really, really prepared to compete at this level. So it's moving us forward. We still got the President's Cup in December, but that, you know,
and that's then the next big event, right? I mean,
yeah, well, the Solheim Cup, and we should have talked a little more, but that's my problem.
We can do it next week.
But yeah, next week we'll talk about the Solheim Cup and Judy. They're preparing their team. But overall, it was a good season for golf.
And you brought up the money, and not only, you know, the money that goes to some of these charities, but seeing the $15 million go to Rory and then, what, $5 million for second and $3.5 million or whatever it is for third place. Like, it just, where PGA Tour is in great shape. Yes. You know, anybody that's, you know, when people say, oh, golf, you know, without Tiger and all. We know we've gotten the stars. There's plenty of stars. Brooks Koepka, we spent a good chunk of the show talking about him. Rory, still Jordan Spieth, certainly, and all these guys. When you see the money involved, it tells you it's healthy. It is, and golf is still very, very healthy.
The economy in the United States is very healthy all across the board, no matter golf or football. Look at basketball.
Look at baseball. The Royals are going to sell the team. The owner is for a little over $1 billion. He bought it in 2000 for $96 million, Charlie.
Come on.
Nearly 10 times the money he bought it for. So sport, and baseball is one of those sports where people, I would say baseball and golf, were the two sports people are most critical of as far as saying that, hey, they're not progressive enough. They're not changing with the times and all this. But you see the money that the PGA Tour is handing out. You see the money that the baseball team sells for.
And golf pays its own stadiums, tax dollars. The volunteers do all the work. So net, the billions of dollars that golf has contributed over the years is really huge. So my hat's off to the golfers.
Well, we made it, at least for me, first golf season with you and Bill on the show. This has
good
been a
job.
Lot of fun. Well, I've learned a lot from you guys. Now I feel like we're ready to roll. Even when I'm ready for January and stuff. That's when I started this past year, so
you
I'm ready.
You got your good golf hat on. You got
the Under Armour. We're repping them. That's for sure. And I had an opportunity again. Went to the first major, which was cool here. And this 2019 season, I'll never forget going out to Bethpage. So that was cool. And then even a new event up in Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. So a lot of fun doing the show with Bill and you guys. And next week, we'll have plenty more to discuss as well.